Welcome, and thank you for downloading Movement Christian Church's sermon podcast. Here at Movement, we are passionate about God's Word and helping each other move closer to God. Thank you for choosing to grow with us today. And now, here's our lead minister, Bobby Wallace.
All right. How are you guys doing this morning? I want to just say again, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you made it a priority to just come together with people who love Jesus or people who are starting to get to know Jesus or people who don't even know Jesus at all. But we're going to honor and praise him today, and we're going to do that through his word. A few weeks ago, I've got a bunch of kids, if you don't know me. We've got all ages, all varieties. If you need one of a certain age, let us know. We can probably figure out a little loaner system. But we've got a seven-year-old just turned seven-year-old, and sometimes, you know, he still gets a little scared at night, and he'll come up and end up in our bedroom floor sleeping on this little mat thing he's got. And so one night a few weeks ago, he gets up in the middle of the night, and it was loud enough that he woke my wife up. He didn't wake me up. I'm just going to tell you that. But he woke my wife up, and he goes into the bathroom, and she was like, you know, Andrew, are you okay? You know, is everything all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And he was like real adamant. He was like, yeah, I'm good. And he goes in, and she sees him. He opens the door, turns the whole light on, boom, just bright light, oh, coming into the bedroom. And so she's like sitting there watching him, and he goes and he gets this little step stool that we have for him in our bathroom when he needs to brush his teeth in there, and he takes a little step stool, and he puts it in front of the sink. And I remember he said he had to use the bathroom. And so she's like, okay, I'm getting up. I'm going to go check on this situation. And she's like, Andrew, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm good. And I mean, he was like real like, I got this woman. I've done this 1,000 times. And he puts this step stool down and stands up and starts doing all the motions of getting ready to use the bathroom in the sink. Yeah, yeah. There's another big problem. He's not quite tall enough. And she did not get there in time to stop the festivities. And so it was just a mess. There was a lot of blowback. I'm just saying that from the counter, you know. And forgive me for telling you that. And so, like, I mean, she's like, ah! And, you know, she kind of woke him up. And he's like, what are you going on about, lady? You know, like, you're the crazy person. I'm the one who's just, of course, using the bathroom the right way. And so he was just adamant that he knew what he was doing, right? Have you ever been that way in life? That you're like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And you did not know what you were doing. You know, we've all been there and probably are going to be there again very soon, because we get this this mindset, and this word is like really supercharged. And a lot of times we just have misunderstood it. It's got a negative connotation. But sometimes we're just ignorant, right? We're just ignorant. And ignorant just simply means you don't know what you don't know. You just don't know something. And so we can be so like headstrong, so sure, and we just don't know what to do, how we're doing it. And there's a lot of times in my life that I feel that way. And I don't know if you can say, yeah, amen too. I've been there. And the problem is that when we won't ever ask for help, or we won't take the steps and the strides when somebody says, hey, look, I love you, but you're doing it wrong. And then you still won't change. We've been going through this study in the book of Ephesians. That's a letter in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. It's sort of about half-ish way through the New Testament. And we've been going through this, and we're calling it wake-up call. And there's a key verse where it talks about wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. And that's where we get that idea from. But the Apostle Paul has been spending some time in chapter 4, where we've been for a couple of weeks, talking about being one and being united. And we've been applying that to us, because our world is just really, really divided, right? People can argue over anything. I mean, tonight there's going to be a battle between NC State and Duke University. Oh, one. Woo. Sam didn't even raise his hand. Sam's like, if you say something bad, I'm going to fight you, because he loves Duke. He loves Duke. But there's going to be this, it's easy to divide. And so we've been looking at that and saying, like, how do we get more united? How do we get to become one? And we spent some time in that a couple of weeks ago. We spent some time in that last week. And the truth that we sort of came to is if we're grown up as a believer, if we're grown up and we're maturing, that means it'll become a little bit easier for And so what do we do? How do we make sure that we live that out? And here's what the Apostle Paul says, inspired by God, in chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. You can follow along in the Bible if you'd like, or on your phone, but we're going to have scripture up here for you as well. Ephesians 4, 17 says this. It says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." Remember that word? It's not a mean derogatory word. They just don't know. It goes on. It says, "Due to the hardness of their heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ." All right, I want to give you just a little bit of background here. He says Gentiles. Now, some of you, if you've been following along these past few weeks, or maybe you've been in church for a while, you know that in the church there were Jews and there were Gentiles. He's not talking here about the Gentiles that have become Christians. He's talking about people that still are no longer Christians. He's saying the people out in this world that don't know God, they're hardened in their hearts. They build up these calluses. They do all these things. And he's saying, you must no longer walk or live like them. Don't be like them. He's telling him, he says, you're not darkened in your mind. And even though he was writing this almost a couple thousand years ago, we can still understand he's talking to us too. If you are a believer, if you are in Christ, he's saying you don't have to live the way you used to. You don't have to be darkened in your mind. You don't have to be hard-hearted, hard-headed, all that sort of stuff. And the biggest thing, the biggest thing I want you to focus on is this. You are not alienated from God. There's a lot of people who spend their lives angry and distant from God because they think that he doesn't want anything to do with him. And so they stand there and they'll say, I'm not going because I'm not invited to the party. But several weeks back, we talked about how we are all invited to the party. And once you take on Jesus, then you get a front seat at the table, at the head of place of honor, right alongside Jesus. And so everybody's welcome. And so he's reminding us, he's reminding them, you aren't like that. If you are in Christ, you are different, is what he's saying. You don't have to be the same old person. Now, the problem is that once you become a Christian, I think a lot of us hope that magically, the minute we like come up out of the waters of baptism, it's like, man, I don't want to sin anymore. Man, I do not want to sin. And some of us sin before we get out of the parking lot, right? You know? You know, somebody cuts us off as we're trying to pull up. You jerk! You know, it's like And we feel like, man, we're not going to want to sin anymore. And he's saying, look, you've got to remind yourself that you are different. But here's something I want you to hear as well. If you are not in Christ, you can be. Everybody's invited. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. Everybody is invited. And so if you aren't in Christ, you can be. Look at verse 21. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. So he's tying that little loose end up for us. He's saying, you're different, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as is the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self. Now I want to pause right there. That literal meaning there in the Greek where it says self is literally the idea of the old man. And so, you know, for guys, you can put in, okay, the old man. For women, you can put in the old woman. But he's saying, the old person you used to be, you've put off your old self, your old man, your old woman, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, things that trick you and lie to you. Because all of us have wanted something and we've gone and taken it, right? And it never feels or tastes as good as we thought it was going to taste. I think I've told you guys before about when I was like 6 years old, my dad was doing a job at somebody's house and we were out there and I was like sort of helping him, sort of not. And I was walking around the outside of these people's houses and I looked and I saw over in the bushes by the house, a little toy boat. And at first I was like, oh, that's a nice boat. I'm gonna walk back this way. A little while later, I was like, I'm gonna go back by that. That's a nice boat. That's a nice boat. It was right beside the house. There's no mistake. It didn't just like blow out of somebody's truck and land in the yard. It wasn't a homeless boat. It belonged to that boat, that house. And so I kept walking by, and finally I went and I looked around. I was just a little kid. I went and I looked around, and I took that boat and I stuck it in my pocket. And I took it home. And you would have thought it would have been the best toy that I ever had because, man, that was a nice boat. But you know what? That boat was like poison to me. It was like drinking vinegar right out of the jar. It was just never, ever fulfilling to me, even though I love that nice boat. And today, as I stand here as an elderly man, you know, that's bad. When you say a thing like that and people don't laugh, that means they think, yeah, you're right, you elderly. Crap. Y'all know how, like, if you know how to tell if you're old or not, if you fall down in public, if people laugh, you're young. If people come running, oh, you okay? You're old, just so you know. But that boat never, ever brought me any joy. It was just tainted goods because I thought it was deceitful desires. It tricked me into thinking that what I wanted, but all it did was make me guilty. So put off that old person, that old man, that corrupt, deceitful desires. Look at verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. He goes on and he says this, or he's, let me recap this idea. He says, put off the old person, cast off the old man. It's corrupt. That word there in the Greek is rotten. Your old self outside of Jesus is rotten, he says. But be renewed in your minds, in the spirit of your minds. You can't do that by yourself. Put on the new man, he says. And that phrase there, put on, in the Greek is interesting. It's literally like the idea of putting on clothing. Put on this new man. Put him on like clothes or this new, almost like new skin. Well, the question is this, where does that take place? How can you know if that has happened to you? Well, I love that God's word ties together little things. And if you sit there and you pull a thread, you can sort of find this thread where this thread leads to another place in Scripture. And there's a little thread here that runs from Ephesians to Galatians 3:27, where it says this, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Guess what Greek word that is where it says put on Christ is? Same Greek word, to put on like clothes. You've put Jesus on like clothes in baptism through your faith. That's the same Greek word in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. So you put on this new man, this new woman, this new person when you're baptized into Christ. Paul also writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, not the physical act that people had done on the eighth day as Jewish men or boys. He says, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Guess what that putting off is? Same word that's over in Ephesians 4. Where it talks about taking off or putting off the old person. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And so there again, he's saying, by your faith in Christ, when you're baptized, he is raising you up. He's burying your old self. He's taking away. He's putting off your old self. The thing that you can't do by yourself, he's doing it for you at baptism. Because of your faith, he's raising you up to a new life, and you, my friends, are or can be a new person, a new man or a new woman, a new creature in Christ, and that happens by your faith and your obedience to him, trusting him. So what do we do there? The thing we've got to think about is this. Once you're baptized, you have this moment when you can look back and you can see and you can say, when those deceitful desires try to come back in your mind and tell you, you know all you are is a liar. You know all you are is a cheater. You know all you are is an adulterer. You know all you are is a drug addict. You know all you are is an alcoholic. You know all you are is just a sorry, dishonest person that nobody loves. You can look back at those lies. You can look back at the enemy and you can say, nope, you're wrong, because I died that day. When I was lowered in the grave, the watery grave of baptism, and I was raised to a new life, I am new. That old me doesn't exist anymore. You can't lie to me. You can't trick me, because that person is dead. That person is dead. And I am new. And so you remind yourself, I've got this moment. I walk out of the grave just like Jesus did on Resurrection Sunday. I walked out of the grave and I was new. That if that moment isn't burned in your brain enough, God gives us an opportunity to remember each and every week. We get the opportunity to share in the Lord's Supper, communion. Those are just kids. That's all they are. I know they can be scary. But we get the opportunity to share in the Lord's Supper, communion, each week. And here's something I want you to know. Communion isn't just us and Jesus. You might be thinking, well, hold up here. But communion is you and me and Jesus. Because we're told, and we talked about this a lot last week and the week before, is that we're one body. That we are one body. We're joined together because of the blood of Jesus. And so when you take communion, it's not something, you can do it alone, don't get me wrong, but it's so much more sweet when you do it with a body of believers. And so I want to challenge your thinking. And we're going to take communion here in just a second. We're going to kind of do it in the middle of the message. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that, spoiler alert, so you don't get all excited and think we're done. Hopefully it won't be too much longer. But we're going to take a break here in just a second, and we're going to do it. But I want you to take a moment when it's time, and I want you to just look around. Look around for a second. I know that might feel awkward, but look around and just realize I'm in a room full of people that are doing this with me and doing this with Jesus to remember his death and his burial and his resurrection. And I want you to remember this truth, is that communion is not where grace is applied, but where grace is reminded. And we get, because we were buried with Christ at baptism and raised to a new life, we don't get any more grace when we take communion, but we get reminded that we have grace. And we get this beautiful reminder, I am different. That day that I died, I am different because of the body and the blood. And there's this beautiful thing here. When it comes time, you can peel off this little top layer and there's a thin wafer there. And then there's another little thin tab on this little piece of plastic. You peel that back and that juice represents the blood of Jesus. And so it reminds us the body and the blood of Jesus, that we are different. We get to remember where we are because of grace. We're not that old man or that old woman anymore because of the body and the blood of Jesus. We're a new man, a new woman because of God's grace, because of Jesus' broken body, Jesus' shed blood, and because of the empty tomb. And we remember that we are in this together. We're not alone. So right now, in just a moment, I want us to take a moment and remember what Jesus has done for us. The sacrifice that gave you and I the chance to be new and a new person, to be holy and righteous, not because we are, but because he says we are. To take time to say thanks and remember that you are new. So we're just going to play a little bit of music for just a moment. Don't feel like you've got a rush, but when you're ready, I want you to take this Lord's Supper and remember and have gratitude, because you can be new in him. Because Jesus walked out of his grave, and we have this reminder that we can share together each week that reminds us on another level of the precious blood and body of Jesus. The question that comes next is that it? Is that all that matters? Are we good? There's a real battle that goes on in the life of every believer at some point, sometimes for a long time, but there's a battle that goes on that basically you can sum up like this. Am I just okay to check in on Jesus every so often or once a week and get a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of reminder of that grace. And that's why I pointed out a lot of times people think that they get more grace when they take this little cup of juice and wafer. But you have that grace. And so the challenge is not to just say, I'm going to take a little bit of Jesus and then ignore him for the rest of my week or ignore him for the rest of my life. It's, I died. I'm not the same person anymore. And I am called to be new. So what do we do? Do we just go back to what people call normal? Normal's not working very well, is it? Normal's overrated. We are called to be different. So not just to live our lives the way that we used to, we're called to no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Paul also wrote in Romans chapter 6, he starts off that whole chapter, he says, should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He's like, we've got grace, so should we just live it up and earn it? He's like, no! I mean, it's like if he was reading it to you, he would shout it. No, by no means. He says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death and raised up through his life? You and I are different. The old man or the old woman wants to come back again. And so Paul continues on, and we're getting close here towards the end, but he gives us some very practical things really quick that we're going to go through, where he says, when that old man or that old woman wants to come back, here's what you do. Remember he said, put away the old man or the old woman, the old self, and put on the new one. He says, put away. He uses that same phrase, put it away, because it's going to come roaring back. You're going to be sitting there, and you'll be like, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Jesus, I'm trying to do the hand motions and I'm trying to figure out what to do when I stand, when I sit. And then all of a sudden you're going to feel a tap on your shoulder and you're going to turn around. It's going to be old you. Hey, it's me. Don't you want to go party? You know, I don't know if partying is your thing, but your old self is going to want to come back. Some of y'all get my humor. Thank you, Jesus. I'm proud. Thank you, some of y'all. But it's going to remind you, it's going to come back and say, hey, the old way is new. You know that way. Let's go back to it. But he says, put it away. And so he has some things that he says, I want you to put away, and then things I want you to put on, starting in verse 22. Paul gives us something to put away and something to put on. And look there at verse 25. It says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So here's the first one. Put away lies and put on truth. Put away lies and put on truth. And many of us will say, well, I'm not really a liar. Liar. Most of us in some way will tend to stretch the truth, spread the truth. I can't go tonight and hang out with you because I've just got some things going on. Your thing going on is Netflix. That's what your thing going on is. You know, we all stretch the truth. We all do some things like that. And sometimes it goes deeper than that. But he says, put away lies and put on truth. And he says something really interesting. He said, we're members one of another, connected to one another. You know what that word member there is? It's the idea of body parts. You can't really get away from your other body parts unless something really bad happens, right? And so it's really serious. And so you are connected one with another. So remind yourself to speak truth and grace to one another. To be honest, not passive aggressive, not secretive, not slanderous, not talking about people behind their back, but speak the truth up to build the body up. And so I ask you this one more question before we move on. Do you know enough truth to speak? It's time that we all get in the Word as we continue to grow. Look at verse 26. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. And so I describe it as this. Put away rage. There you go. Put away rage and put on, I'm calling it devil defense. Put away rage and put on devil defense. Now, this one might be a little harder to see there in that verse, but he says, be angry, do not sin, don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. When you and I allow our rage and our anger to take control of us, we give the enemy, the devil, a foothold in our life. We give him a foothold. And here's what I want you to hear. You not only leave yourself open to attack when you allow your anger to get the best of you, but you also allow yourself to become a tool of the devil. You become a weapon in the hand of the enemy. And why? Because you sit there and think, I justify myself all the time. That person's a jerk. They cut me off in traffic. That is the worst thing that you can do in society, right? At least that's what I tell myself when I'm really angry. You know, their mama don't like them. Why should I? You know, I'll build up a case against you if you drive dumb in front of me, you know. And I struggle with it. We all struggle with it. And we let our anger control us. And it doesn't say you can't be angry, because that's an emotion. It just is a response that comes up. But what do you do with the anger? How do you let it control you, or do you learn how to temper those emotions and use them in the right way? Because if you don't, it says that you become not only a target, but also a tool for Satan. Look at verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And so I share this like this. Put away stealing, put on generosity. It's interesting that he says, shouldn't steal, you should work. And he says, our reason for working is so that we can help other people. And a lot of us live our lives working to please who? Ourselves. And we know, if we're being honest, we know that that doesn't make anybody fulfilled, does it? Because there's never enough money, no matter how much you make. But if you allow your money to help benefit other people, you take care of your own needs. Absolutely, that's right. And even do some wants. That's fine. But help other people and be generous. He says that is the target. That is the goal, to put away stealing and put on generosity. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And I describe it this way: put away useless words, put on grace-filled words. Put away useless words and put on grace-filled words. You know what's really interesting? Is that Greek word there, where it talks about this corrupt talk? It literally carries the idea of rotten, putrefied stuff. That's what our words can be like. Rotten, putrefied stuff. Useless. I want you to challenge yourself. Like I'm trying. I struggle with it. But I'm challenging myself to use this THINK acronym. Here's what it means. Think about what you're going to say. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And maybe, just maybe, if it doesn't fit all of those, or at least some of those, don't say it. Believe it or not, we don't have to say everything that comes into our brain. I would be in a lot better shape if I didn't say half the stuff that comes into my brain. But think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And sometimes tough news, like sometimes you got to tell people difficult things, but it can be helpful, right? It just all depends on the heart by which you say it. You can sometimes say difficult things, but you do it in a heartfelt, loving way. So think about what you're going to say. Look at verse 30. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This might kind of seem out of place a little bit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, how can I do that? But it's really interesting, because it's couched between how you speak. And the verses that come right after that, it's involving your speech. And so you and I need to understand that the way that we speak to people, what we say, what we talk about, even what we think about, is what can grieve the Holy Spirit. When you tear down other people. Can I tell you that we shouldn't do this to anybody? But I believe, and Paul says this in other letters, this is my paraphrase, but church fights and church splits are from the pit of hell. They really are. We shouldn't talk hateful about anybody, but we definitely should not do it about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe we need to understand the truth that if you tear down or tear apart a congregation, you better look out. You know, be careful with your words. He goes on in verse 31 where he couches that, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, with this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And I sum it up like this: put away blasphemy and put on forgiveness. Put away blasphemy and put on forgiveness. You may think, well, what? Why do you say blasphemy? Because that's a word, it's like you talk ill of God. But you know what? The word there, where we the word slander, it's actually the word, Greek word, where we get blasphemy from. You couldn't get any more clear. I'm not much of a Greek scholar, but I'm reading it and I look at it and it says basically blasphemia. That's pretty hard to argue with, right? So the word for slander is a word for blasphemy. And so what you have to do is this. I've got to wrap my brain around this truth that bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. I don't know many of us that use the word clamor too much, but it is literally the idea of crying and whining. Yikes. So when we're whining, we are also in this category. And he goes on to say slander, that blasphemia, malice, that's the intention to hurt somebody with your words and with your actions. You're trying to hurt people. But all of these ideas, all of these types of language are lumped in with, guess what? Blasphemy. And so what I want us to understand is this. When you tear down the church, now I want you to read that as the church is other Christians. When you tear down other Christians, you tear down God. And you cast dispersions on Him. You cast all these negative things on Him. So He says, put on kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving as God forgave you. You may be thinking like me. I can forgive some people, but there are some people that I can't forgive. When they come up, I'm going to talk bad about them because they hurt me and they hurt me bad. They don't deserve forgiveness. I'm not going to give it to them. There's no way in this world that I'm going to forgive. You may think it's just too hard to live as a new person. All these things that I've got to put away and all these things I've got to put on. Who can forgive like this besides God? Take a second and watch this.
This week with a lesson in forgiveness from Steve Hartman on the road.
It all went down on this block in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Back in 05, Jamel McGee says he was minding his own business when a police officer accused him of and arrested him for dealing drugs.
You saying the officer made it up?
Yeah, it was all made up.
Of course, a lot of accused men make that claim. But not many arresting officers agree.
So you phonied the report?
I did. I falsified the report.
This is former Benton Harbor police officer Andrew Collins.
Were you just trying to chalk up an arrest?
Well, basically, the start of that day, I was going to make sure I had another drug arrest.
And in the end, you put an innocent guy in jail?
Correct. Yeah.
You lost everything.
I lost everything. My only goal was to seek him when I got home and to hurt him.
Really?
That was my goal.
Eventually, that crooked cop was caught, served a year and a half for falsifying many police reports, planting drugs, and stealing.
Of course, Jamel was exonerated, but he still spent 4 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Today, both men are back here in Benton Harbor, which is a small town. Maybe a little too small.
Hey guys, thank you.
Last year, by sheer coincidence, they both ended up at Mosaic, a faith-based employment agency, where they now work side by side in the same cafe.
Oh, excuse me.
And it was in these cramped quarters that the bad cop and the wrongfully accused had no choice but to have it out.
And I said, honestly, I have no explanation. All I can do is say I'm sorry.
And Jamel says that was all it took.
That was pretty much what I needed to hear.
Today, they're not only cordial.
Saturday, we went to the trampoline park.
They're friends.
We talk about life.
Such close friends. Not long ago, Jamel actually told Andrew he loved him.
And I just started weeping because he doesn't owe me that. I don't deserve that, you know?
Did you forgive for his sake or for yours?
No, for our sake. Not just us, for our sake.
Jamel went on to tell me about his Christian faith and his hope for a kinder mankind. He wants to be an example. So now he and Andrew give speeches together about the importance of forgiveness and redemption.
I'll grab this one, set it over there.
And clearly, if these two guys from the coffee shop can set aside their bitter grounds, what's our excuse? Steve Hartman, on the road, in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
And that's the CBS Evening News for tonight.
Yep. Forgive just as in Christ God forgave you. He had every reason not to forgive. But he knew that he had been forgiven much by God. And so I want to challenge myself, I want to challenge all of us to live not just as people who come to church from time to time and check in and check out, but to live as Easter people. People of the resurrection every single day, where we take off the old self and put on the new self, and we put on things like forgiveness, and we love and we serve and we move and we forgive. Because when I originally saw this story, it was on social media, and there was a whole list of comments, and a lot of the people on there were saying, ain't no way I would do that, because it doesn't make any sense, does it? Unless you know Jesus. It only makes sense if you know Jesus. And so this world needs to see more people showing love and kindness and forgiveness to people who don't deserve it. Because the news is that none of us deserve it, but we all get it freely in Jesus. And so, as he said, we don't just forgive for each other, we forgive for us, because this world needs to see it. So let's live as Easter people. Let's live different every day. Let's live as people of the resurrection. Who do you need to forgive today? They don't deserve it, but neither did you. Who do you need to forgive? What do you need to put away in your life that's holding you back and taking you back to the old self? What do you need to put on? What good thing do you need to adopt into your life? And then I ask you the most important question. Have you put on Christ at baptism? Because he does something for you that you can't do for yourself, and he makes you righteous and holy and good. And so I would love to invite you to do that today if you haven't done so. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm excited about ham for lunch, but ham can wait if you want to go get buried in Jesus. Amen. It'll keep. Not long, but it'll keep.
Amen.
So today, I don't want you to say, oh, it's not a good day. We got a lot of things going on. There is no time like today but to say, the old man, the old woman is going to be gone and I'm going to be new. There's no time like today. So are you living like the old man and the old woman? Or are you living like the new man or the new woman? The stands worship.
Thank you for listening to Movement Christian Church's Sermon Podcast. Want to learn more about us? You can do that by visiting our website at movementchristianchurch.com or on our app available on iOS and Android devices under Movement NC.